Jesus by night, to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, I'm glad you've tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here on this third thing that is needed by all of mankind, every individual, and also we're going from individuals to see about the institutions also. We've had messages and over the past several broadcasts, first starting with that of humility. We need humility. Each and every one of us do need humility before God, and we are called by the Lord in that humility to submit ourselves unto Him. And then submission, according to the command and word of the Lord, needs to bring repentance. And so we continue on. We saw last time that individuals are to repent before the Lord, not only the children of God, but those who are unsaved, not only the unsaved, but those who are the children of God, all are to repent before the Lord. A life that starts, the salvation of the soul, by the salvation of the soul, by repentance and faith, is a life that continues on in repentance and faith. And that's something that many people do not understand, is that the child of God who has been saved, the one that has been saved and made a child of God, is not perfect. We are not without sin because we still have this old body. If we could be sinless here, for those that believe and trust in a sinless perfection, they say that they've been saved and they've never sinned since they've been saved, or so they arrived at some spiritual maturity, then answer the question, why do we need a new body? Because if there was sinless perfection attainable in this life, why would there be a need for a new body? Why is there a yet facing of death for the one that has become perfect and without sin? It just does not make sense, and it makes no connection to the scriptures whatsoever. These mortal bodies are sin fraught, just like this whole earth. We've inherited our sin and nature to sin from our father Adam. We are filled with sin in this flesh and this mind. And we love sin, naturally. But the child of God that has been saved from their sins and their soul has been saved, they've been rescued, the Spirit of God now lives within, they still sin, but need to confess that before the Lord, as we saw there in 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2. And if you're under the hearing of my voice and you've never repented of your sins before God and believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, not for people in general, not for the salvation of the world, but for you, we point you to Him, and we pray that you would do so, that you would repent before God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So individuals are to repent. As we started off in this of repentance, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Well, the answer, we know the implied answer is no one. No one has made their heart clean. When tainted and touched by sin, there is no cleaning that a mortal man can perform to another. No cleaning, washing that one can do for themselves. It's an impossible thing that can only be done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can say, I've made my heart clean? Who can say that I am pure from my sin? No man can, and we are called to repent. Next, we want to take a look at in the scriptures what the scriptures say about families are in need to repent. Yes, it is the case. We see this, and it's a line that's hard to define exactly, but understand this: the nation of Israel was the descendants and family of brother Jacob, whose name had been changed to Israel. And I want you to listen what brother Jeremiah declares here in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse number 9. The Lord's dealing with Israel for her sin, and listen to what Jeremiah says here in verse number 19 of Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. So here, as the Lord is dealing with Israel, Jeremiah declares about the Gentiles, how they will come to the Lord from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. You know, Jeremiah, the jealousy that the Lord has causing with Israel in this time of the veil being pulled over her eyes and bringing Gentiles to repentance, it's been fulfilled, hadn't it? We many here in our nation, in our land, and across the world who are not Jews have been called into salvation by our Lord. And here we see that word of repentance, don't we? And shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies. They've inherited emptiness and things wherein there is no profit. They are repenting. And so we see here that families of the earth are to repent. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, the Lord speaking, behold, I will this once cause them to know, and I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Listen to what he says there in verse 21. Therefore, the Lord is responding and reacting to repentance of the Gentiles. Now understand, the reason that Gentiles repent is because the knowledge of the word of the Lord that comes into us. It does indeed. The Lord tells us our condition and tells us our need. And we are called to believe that, receive that, respond to that, and trust our Lord in it. Brother Jeremiah also referring directly to the nation of Israel. And listen to what he says here in his prayer and his declaration in Lamentations chapter 5, verse number 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not. They've been destroyed and we have borne their iniquities. You know, that's what Jeremiah is doing here in the book of Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7. He is repenting. He's repenting for the sins of the family of which he is a member, the family that is of Jacob, the nation of Israel. So individuals are to repent before the Lord, saved or unsaved. Families are to repent before the Lord in transgression that they are guilty of. And then we see in the scripture here that indeed communities, states, and nations are to repent before God. That's what's needed today in our land. We are a bloody people. We are a wicked people in the things that we condone and the things that we allow and the things that we put up with. Every citizen, every individual needs to repent before God. And the children of God are to claim the sins of a people, their nation. We as the children of God, we are not to say what they have done, but what we have done. And this is borne out in the scripture that the civilization of man and community and states and a nation, nations of the world are to repent before God, every citizen thereof. What's it say in Proverbs 14:34? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a state, but sin is a reproach to any state. Righteousness exalteth a county, but sin is a reproach to a county. Righteousness exalteth a city, a village, a community, but sin is a reproach to any town. It is. It's just that way. The Lord has declared it. I heard recently about how this is, that a community voted in liquor sales into their own community, to their municipality. And you know what has happened? My understanding is that a liquor store has opened up as near as it could from the high school. I tell you what, that's not righteous. That is sin. That sin is a reproach unto that community. And they say, well, we need the tax money. We need the revenue. We need to advance our cause. Is that going to advance the cause? Having that liquor store near, so near to that school, so near to those young adults that are going on into adulthood, is that going to be a help? Is that righteous? Indeed, it is not. And may we repent of our sins before God. Listen to what a man says here in Daniel, in the book of Daniel. And we don't have enough time in this broadcast, but we'll continue it on. We see here in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 23. This is the most a man of God, that Daniel, who had nothing to do with the sins of the nation, yet was taken into captivity. And he was taken into captivity because of the sins of the fathers and of those in generations before. But when Daniel prays for his nation, he doesn't say, Lord, forgive them for what they've done. But he says, Lord, forgive us for what we have done. In Daniel chapter 9, verse number 1, in the first year of Darius, king of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books and by the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Sin was a reproach to Jerusalem. Sin was a reproach to that nation. And I set my face unto the Lord, verse 3, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He was repentant before the Lord. He humbled himself. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Verse number 5, listen, hear it. We have sinned. Brother Daniel, he doesn't take and say, well, our fathers have sinned against you. Our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, our great-great-grandfathers have sinned against you, and we're bearing that iniquity. Like Brother Jeremiah declared there in the book of Lamentations. And the thing is he's not wanting to get out from under the chastisement of the Lord. Jeremiah is not desiring that. I mean, he would like the nation to be relieved, but he wants the nation to turn. But Brother Daniel here, he claims the sins of the nation, and he says we. And that's what we in our nation need to do. That's what we in our state need to do. That's what we in our communities need to do. We need to declare unto the Lord, we have sinned and committed iniquity and done wickedly and rebelled by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. May God help us that we would repent as a nation. God, please forgive America that we may be blessed. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.